to share these hours with you these days. I've got some, I know contrary to popular opinion, I actually have some friends. It's astounding, I know. Amazing, isn't it? A man that has friends must show himself. I'm the friendliest guy in the world, but people don't like me. And so anyway, I've got some friends, some folks from Kalamazoo, and I'm finally glad to meet Pastor Morelli. That's not Irish, is it, brother? That's too bad right there. All right, that sure isn't Irish. That's a bit on the spaghetti bender side. That's all right. We love you anyway. But thank the Lord for a good pastor doing a great job at Temple Baptist Church, where I had the privilege of serving about 9 years. And thank the Lord for that. I've got some friends from down Kalamazoo way as well, Hastings and all that. Charlotte is a widow lady that was our widow of Zarephath. And we love you, lady. And we love you so very much. Your sweet daughter and granddaughter with us, daughters with us. And then we have some family with us tonight, a couple of nieces. And it's amazing. I'm amazed. Amazed they're even here. And with all my heart, I'm glad they are. We love them, and we're thankful. Brother Robert married into our family, and shame and sad for him. But anyway, it's a blessing. And so we love you all. Thank you. If we miss somebody, certainly we wouldn't want to do that. But we love you very much and thankful that you're in the house of God. 1 Corinthians, let's get right to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 19. And the Bible says, are you there? Say amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and all God's people said, and become the first fruits of them which of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, a kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Say amen right there. Amen. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifested he is accepted, which did put all things under him. You know, I like to get to the end of things. Amen. I like to get to the end of things. I try to consider the end of a thing before I get into it. I tried to teach that to my children as they were growing up, and teach that to my grandchildren as well. Don't think about actions or words for the immediate time, but consider what will come at the end of something. It's important, beloved, to live with future things in mind, not to live for the immediate, but to live for the eternal. I want you to understand tonight that immediate gratification most often ends in pain and destruction. Immediate pain often ends in life and gratification, amen. Thank God for that. But a drug addict, as you know, we understand that from looking at people, finds immediate pleasure in the needle, but in the end we find they have pain and destruction and misery as it comes to the end of things. A cancer patient for the immediate has pain and surgery and treatments, but life and gratification in the end make the pain and the difficulty leading up to all that insignificant. As you look at the natural world, beloved, although deeds and words and attitudes have certain and inevitable consequences, listen now, if you take fire into your bosom, hear me, if you take fire into your bosom, you're going to get burned. If you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. That's what the Bible says. Now, beloved, the end of something is far more important than the beginning of something. We understand, we love beginnings, say amen. I love the words, in the beginning, God, right? But I want you to know there's an end coming. In the spiritual matters that we look at in the Word of God, this is true, that God speaks to us very often throughout the Scripture about the end of things. The Bible, according to the Scripture, when everything has run its course, when time is no more, when the rapture of God's children takes place, and that awful 7 years of tribulation is foisted upon mankind because of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, then when 1,000 years of the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus, as He rules and reigns with a rod of iron come about, then comes along this final resurrection, and then the judgment is over. When all of that is done, when the earth is dissolved, when the Bible, as the Bible says, when it is melted with the fervent heat, then the Bible says, then cometh the end of all things. Hear me tonight, beloved. Though creation has revolted against God, and indeed it has, though sin has marred His wonderful handiwork, and though it appears that everything is in chaos, though the Antichrist in the world today seem to rule, and even though the great harlot, that Romanish Babylon that works its religion throughout today, it's drunk upon its fornications, as the Bible says in the book of the Revelation. Listen to me tonight, beloved. There's a day coming, as the Bible declares in Acts chapter number 3, and verse number 21, that's the times of the restitution of all things which God had spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. There's a day coming, beloved, a day coming. Though humanity despises God's rule, there's a day coming when Jesus is going to reign, when Jesus is going to rule. The Bible says at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In Isaiah 45, we hear the Lord God Himself say things about the way things are going to be at the end. We won't take the time to read it, but I want to encourage you to do that tonight later on. Isaiah 45, 20, and through the end of the chapter. But oh, as you hearken to the gracious advice of the Lord God of heaven, He says, I want you to get this proposition tonight from the preacher tonight. I hope you'll get this, that you can glean from this tonight, that in the end of everything, every creature in heaven, every creature on earth and in hell, every deed performed in God's creation by men, by angels, by devils, by Satan himself, every deed, small and great, good and evil, every event that shall finally exalt and magnify and honor and praise and give glory to the glorious God of gods, the King of kings, He will reign. He will get what's coming to Him one of these days when everything that shall be has been. And I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to that day when everything that must be has come to pass, and when the holy God of heaven will have been finally, His word will finally be perfectly fulfilled. The Bible says, then cometh the end. Now, let me quickly, before I can get to the end, I want to talk to you about the end. Amen? Consider this with me tonight, would you? Everything in this world soon must come to an end. I'm trying to just get you to understanding tonight, we live too much for the immediate. As my brother Russ so regularly says, we only see just about to the end of our nose. We're concerned about ours and our things and our people, and we don't think about the end. But your Bible declares in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7 that, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. This is 1 Corinthians 7 verse 29. It returneth that both they that have wives, be as though they had none, and they that weep as so as though they weep not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use their world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. I wonder tonight, beloved, will we ever learn that everything here is temporary? Will we ever learn this? Will we ever learn that time is not timeless? Will we ever get it into our consciousness that this world is not eternal? That God made you and me for a specific time and a specific purpose. And when God's purposes for us are over, then cometh the end. Can I get an amen? You can take all the vitamins you want to take, but you're going to die. You can get all the medicine you can cram down your gullet, but you're going to die. You can jog if you want to, and I think you're crazy if you do. If you see me running, you better run too, because something's chasing me. You don't have to be faster than the grizzly bear. You just got to be faster than the fat guy behind you. Can I get an amen? I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, listen to me. You're dying right now as you sit here. Entropy is just taking you over. You can't do anything about it. The second law of thermodynamics is eating you up, and you don't even know it. You don't even think about it. You got up this morning and you didn't think about dying. You got up this morning and you didn't think about facing the God of heaven, but you're fixing to. You're getting ready to. You better understand the end is coming. And our end is either going to be an eternal bliss or an eternal damnation in hell. And I want you to think about this tonight, beloved. This world is temporal and it's passing away. That's why this thing is more important than that stuff. Let me say that again. This thing, the local church, the Bible, the holy God of heaven, the things of the Lord, all of His creation, all of His kingdom, everything about God is more important than your job. It's more important than your stuff. It's more important than your kids. It's more important than your very life. It's more important than a stupid football game. It's more important than anything. It's more important than the air you breathe. He is all and in all. And if it's not about Him, it's not worth a hill of beans nothing. I'm telling you right now, beloved, everything in this world's passing away. And we are rapidly moving to a world where all is eternal. This is temporal. There are too many Christians tonight. They've got their tent pegs dug in this crust of this stinking earth, and all we think about is our stuff. And it's temporal. You're a pilgrim. Amen? You're a Bedouin. You're a tent dweller. You've got a home beyond this room. You've got a home beyond the things that you don't even know about. If you're going to heaven, if you're going to hell, friend, you got damnation coming. You better get born again tonight. You better quit playing games because you're coming to an end as surely as a Christian's coming to an end. And I'm telling you, friend, if you die in your sins, you're going into a Christless eternity. And, beloved, you'll wish forevermore you'd have listened and gotten saved. I'm just saying to you, beloved, we live in a temporal world and we're thinking too temporally. Jesus said, "And what shall it profit a man if he'll gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And then he asked this unbelievable question, Pastor, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Wow, I could go off on that. I'm just not going to even start preaching down that road. That rabbit would be too running ahead of me, and I have to kill everything in the way. So I'm telling you, beloved, we better consider tonight, everything here is vanity. Everything in this world is vanity, and it's emptiness, and only that which is eternal has any real meaning or real value. Only Jesus Christ obviously can prepare us for eternity. Hear me, beloved. I'm rushing along. Everything in this world is soon going to an end. And what will all of your things and all of your relationships matter? I joke about this, and we're talking to Pastor Rich. He did a funeral today and he got one Saturday. I had 1 week, brother, had 7 funerals. 3 in 1 day. I wish I got paid for those things. No, I'm not laughing at all. But anyway, I mean, funerals. I've done hundreds and hundreds of funerals. Dad used to say, "You got the ministry of death." Now, I've never in all my life done a funeral with a U-Haul hooked up to the hearse. I know some smart aleck in my church one of these days is going to have that written into his will that when he dies, and hook a U-Haul up to the hearse just to rub it in preacher's nose. Some smart aleck's going to do that, and I'm just going to put some Tannerite in that thing and blow it up. Can I get an amen right there? Listen to me. There's no U-Hauls, beloved. There's no, you brought nothing into this world, and it's certain you're going to take nothing out of here. Nothing. Oh, I tell you, I can't warn you enough. And preachers of the gospel, we can't warn people enough to be aware of this fact. As Jesus said, He said it in Mark chapter 4, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches of this world and the lust of the other things which entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Beloved, listen to me. Don't let the stinking mess of this world choke the wonderful seed of the word of God out of your life. Don't let it happen. Listen, the beginning and the accomplishment of the end of all things is upon us. And you know, these things that are this beginning and the accomplishment of all things, listen, they're all of God. The book declares that all things are of God. Amen. 2 Corinthians tells us that. When we say all things are of God, it doesn't just mean when just a certain little number of things. When Lucifer, that anointing and that wonderful angel, he was a beautiful thing. He must have been magnificent. Until iniquity was found in him. Amen? That's what the Bible says. He had pride and arrogance, and it'll kill you. Pride will kill you every time. When Lucifer lifted up his pride and his pridefulness, and he boasted that he would be like the Most High, God responded. The God of heaven said in Isaiah 45, "Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." He said, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, the things that are yet, not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. That's what God says. Beloved, listen to me. God created all things according to the good pleasure of His will. Amen? God rules all things according to the good pleasure of His will. God disposes of all things according to the good pleasure of His will. And God shall have the praise of all things according to the good pleasure of His will. Even the devil himself will say, King of kings, Lord of lords. King of kings, Lord of lords. Satan himself, that boasted that he would be like the Most High, will point his wretched finger at the God of heaven and the Son of God himself and say, He is the King. He will do that. And God will appoint it as to be so. I'm telling you, friend, I love that I'm on the right side. I love that I'm gonna see the end of things. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the book says. Proverbs 16, verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. That's not Calvinism. Calvinism is a damnable doctrine that belched up out of hell. That's not Calvinism at all. That's righteousness of God. Oh, listen to me. Everything and all things are of God, beginning and ending. Here's something else now, and I'm hurrying. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's precious Son, my Savior, and yours if you're saved, listen, must reign till the end. And He'll reign beyond the end. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. I love these words. I don't know where you're at. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. And it says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Man, I'm telling you, the one, that wonderful Jesus Christ, the one that lived and died for us as our mediator and our magnified Savior, as so that He may bring us up into heaven, is ever Himself, God Almighty in the flesh. And I'm telling you, beloved, He didn't become God walking down a dusty road in Galilee. He didn't become God when He split the matrix of Mary's womb and was born into this world. He didn't become God when He rose again. He always was God. He always will be God. He's eternal as the God the Father is. And I'm here to tell you tonight, beloved, hallelujah, hallelujah to His name. He rules all things, and He deserves, and He has earned the right, and He must reign, the Bible says. You know why? Because He's God. Amen? He must reign because He's God. You know why else, beloved? Because the salvation of His children and God's glory depends on it. I'm going to say that again. He must reign because He's God, and He must reign because the salvation of His children and the glory of His Father depends on it. Listen what the Bible says. Jesus said it in John 17. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal. Woo! Amen? That they might know, listen, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. I'm telling you, beloved, he must reign. He must reign because nobody can stop him. I like that. I like it. He must reign because nobody can stop him, and he's God. I'm telling you, he's going to put down all rule. He's going to put down all authority. He's going to put down every power on this earth, civil, domestic, church rule, even satanic power, every bit of it, beloved, and he's going to do it right soon. Amen? He's going to do it soon. Our King Jesus shall put all of his enemies and ours under his nail-pierced feet, and finally and forevermore, his wonderful heel will crush the serpent's head. Woo! Man, oh man. That makes me want to thank God I'm on the right side. It makes me want to thank God that I get to serve Him. It makes me want to thank God that I get to know Him through His holy book and through the indwelling presence of His precious Spirit. I'm telling you, it's grand to be saved. I'm looking forward to the end. Some of you are looking forward to the end of this sermon, but bless God, I'm thinking about preaching over. Man. Listen, He has graciously conquered. I love this truth about this. He's graciously conquered my heart. He just so graciously conquered my heart. I tell you, I remember when I got saved. And I don't remember everything there was about it. I was just a dumb kid, man. I didn't know anything about ecclesiology and the doctrine of Jesus. And I knew nothing about Bible doctrine, man. Zero, zippo. But I knew He loved me. I knew He loved me, and I knew He was something real.
I'd watched a drunkard daddy get saved and throw out pornography and pour his booze down a drain. And I watched my drunken father turn from a man, and he was a good man when the booze wasn't in his life. And I watched that man, be turned inside out. And I'm telling you, you can argue all you want with a preacher. Look at me now. You can argue all you want with a preacher, and you can argue with that book until your teeth fall out of your stupid head, but you can't argue with a changed life. You hear me? You can argue with everybody. You can argue with me, and I'll still win because I'm smarter than you. I'm telling you, you can argue with people all you want, but you can't argue with a changed life. You can't argue with somebody who once was darkness and now is light. You can't argue with somebody that was walking in the darkness of the wretchedness of sin, and then Christ comes in the light of glory. You can't argue with that. And so what I'm saying to you, beloved, He graciously conquers our hearts, so graciously, and He redeems us. And you know what we do? Because He's conquered our hearts, we willingly bow to His majestic glory. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned. Oh, man. And it does, doesn't it? Majestic sweetness sits enthroned, and that's who our Jesus is. And so, beloved, listen to me tonight. If He doesn't conquer you with His grace, hear me. If you won't let Him conquer you with His grace, the Son of God will conquer you with His wrath. I'm going to say that again so you get this. If you won't let Him conquer you with His grace, He's going to conquer you with His wrath. The best thing to do tonight is to bow willingly before His majesty. Bow willingly before His majestic sweetness. I know He's judge, but oh, is He sweet, man. He's wonderful. Now, when the end comes, the Lord Jesus will deliver the kingdom up to the Father. And I'm looking forward to that stuff, Ben. I'm looking forward to that business. Chapter 15:24, the end, and then comes the end. That doesn't mean that Jesus isn't God, or that doesn't mean Jesus isn't worthy or inferior, or that He ceases to be King of kings and Lord of lords. In fact, the Scripture declares in Hebrews 1 that forever, O God, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. That's what the Hebrew writer says. And in the end, beloved, the shepherd's going to present the sheep to the Father. I'm one of those. And in the end, beloved, the Savior is going to present His children to His Father. In the end, the Son's going to present His brethren to our Father. Somebody say amen. And in the end, beloved, the King is going to present His kingdom back to the Father. Ephesians 5:27, that He might present to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Beloved, yes, even in the end, Christ will stand before the Father. I'm talking about our Father, and with all of the redeemed by His side, in the protection and in the beauty of His holiness, Jesus will present us, every blood bought, every redeemed soul, all who repented, all that were regenerated and called to be sealed by the Spirit of God and called the children of God will be there, and will be presented by Jesus to our Father. And in the end, beloved, it is all that God may be all in all. Amen? And in the end, that God may be all in all. Listen, the work of the promise of the Godhead will be finally accomplished. But God, who was rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath provided, quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I love this, that in the ages to come, amen? That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, listen, He is all and in all. And all God's people said, He is our meat. Jesus is our clothing. He is our shelter. He is our life. He is our peace. He is our satisfaction. He is our Son and our light forever. He's going to deliver the kingdom up to the Father. And that doesn't end it, beloved. That enhances it. That doesn't end it. That's not the end of the end. It's an enhancement of the end. For through Jesus Christ, hallelujah to God, we see the Father, and He is the image of the invisible God Himself. And it's the only through the Lord Jesus Christ, that Word made flesh, that we can even know the Godhead. Oh, listen, the end is near. The question is, are you ready tonight? Jesus said, pray like this, our Father, which art in heaven. He didn't say pray those words. He said, pray like this. Thy kingdom come. When's the last time you prayed for that? Honestly, now look at me. When's the last time you said, Jesus, I'm ready? Is that Brother Donald's? Is that, who's that? Who is that? Well, I ain't putting my lips on that thing, man. I don't know. Lord have mercy. If it was Brother Donald's, I don't want to like be 5 inches from him. Listen, I'm just saying to you, one of these days is going to be over. Amen? We're going to hear that trumpet, and we get up out of here. And I'm saying to you, if you're not saved, get that way tonight. If you're a child of God, quit living for yourself. Live for this kingdom. I know, I understand the difference between the kingdom and the local church. That's not the argument tonight. The kingdom is of God. Thy kingdom come. When was the last time you said, Jesus, please come today? When was the last time you prayed that? Maybe you're praying that, maybe you're not praying that because you like how you're living. I'm not living in sin, but I'm going to tell you something. I want to get up out of here. I am sick of this. Amen? Well, I've got this to do and that to do. You got a problem tonight. You need to get rid of that junk. Live for now, obviously. Do the best you can for now and live for eternity because the end is coming. It might be your end tonight. Amen? I hope not. Man, I hope you live until Jesus comes and we all go together. But this might be your last night. Make sure of heaven tonight. Make sure that you're walking with God tonight because the end is coming. My Father, I love you so much. And Lord Jesus, I do pray that you'll come soon. Please do.